From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in a ride to work the other day and a ride to school. You see, I drive my boy to school a couple days a week when I'm on the way to work. And he's 3.5 years old, and kids say a lot of funny things, but out of the blue the other day, he started asking about Christmas. And he said, Dad, what am I going to get for Christmas? And I, of course, reminded him how fortunate he is, and he's going to get a lot of things. He didn't have to worry about it. And then he paused, and it was like he was remembering to some of the things that we talked about last year. And he proceeded to tell me at the age of 3.5 how he wanted to make sure he was helping other kids who didn't have anything this holiday season. And when he did that, well, not only made me very proud, but it reminded me of the conversations I had with some listeners last year at the end of December. Several listeners said, oh, I wish I would have known about this charity or that organization so we could have done something in a holiday season. So all of that has sparked this. I invited my son, Reese, into the radio station. He's here with me now. And we're going to be hearing from charities and organizations all hour long. They're going to help us understand what is out there, what their specific needs are, and exactly what we can do to help. But first, I got to welcome my buddy.
Hello.
The other day when we were driving to school, we were talking about what's coming up next month. Do you remember what's coming up next month?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving's coming up, and then
Christmas, too.
Tell me what Christmas is about.
It's about giving.
It is about giving. And you know what? You're how old now? You're holding up the fingers, but can you tell me in the microphone, how old are you?
3 years
old. And you make me really, really proud, buddy, because Christmas is about giving, and this isn't rehearsed, we're just talking. But tell me a little bit about Christmas, and who do we need to give to?
Like some of our friends that don't have anything to play with.
Yeah. How does that make you feel that there are kids out there who don't have anything, buddy?
Bad.
If you were to go out to a store, what would you like to buy for kids who don't have any toys?
Maybe a microphone.
A microphone? Is it because you're talking into a microphone right now?
Yes.
Okay. What about toys that you think they would appreciate?
Trains, cars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rider and his ATV.
Rider and his ATV from Paw Patrol?
Uh-huh. Legos. You can make all sorts of stuff with.
With Legos?
Yeah.
What kind of stuff can you make with Legos?
You can make computers, microphones, TVs, and phones, and doors, and houses.
And houses?
And cars, trains.
So you like Legos? That's a good gift we could get for some people.
I think we should do that. Maybe a light, maybe a small light when they're sleeping at bed that their mommy and daddy can keep.
A little night light too?
Uh-huh.
That's a nice idea. How about books?
Maybe a book that it's so short that you can read at bedtime.
Oh, that's really nice. That's a great idea. And maybe some longer books, too?
Maybe some really big books.
We love books. I love you.
I love you all the way to France, to Ireland, to Italy, all the way to Gmo's, to Papa's, then to back to our house.
You love me all the way from there to there. I love you to the moon and back. So let's get to it, Reese. Let's find out how we can help our community. And our first guest comes to us from one of the poorest parts of Rochester, and this is a very important way that you can help families in poverty around the holidays. It's the Baden Street Settlement, and Gladys Jordan Holloman is the program director there. They're on a deadline. They're looking at around December 11th and their deadline, trying to raise enough money to give 600 families something on Christmas morning. Gladys, it's great to have you here. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Well, I kind of gave the little intro, but why don't you tell us a little bit more about who Baden Street serves in Rochester?
We service parts of the northeast sector of the city, which is one of the more impoverished areas within the city itself. We have families of all dimensions, and this year for the holiday, we're hoping to service 600 families with a food basket, food voucher, and a gift for their child. Age 12 and under.
Age 12 and under. So 600 families you've identified. And give me a sense for, you said families of all dimensions, but just what it is like, you know, their life and the potential for them to wake up on Christmas really without anything for their kids. I mean, that's tough.
Well, we're serving low-income families, a lot of them are working, poor, not able to meet the needs of the family. They have to choose between a holiday dinner and a gift for their child versus paying the rent, our genie, and those things that are necessary to maintain your home. So our desire is just to help them meet the holiday needs that they have.
Well, I hope you can do it. So here's the deadline. December 11th, you want to raise $25,000 by December 11th.
By December 11th.
But for our listeners, there's multiple ways you can help. You can give a monetary donation. You can drop off a toy or a basket. So let's talk about exactly where people need to go to do that. What can they do, Gladys?
They would need to come into Baden Street Settlement, located at 152 Baden Street. We're right off of Joseph Avenue. Contact me by phone, 325-4910.
Do it again.
325-4910, extension 1132. I'm there Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Thank goodness you are. And and so that's how you do it. You can stop in. If they want to drop off a toy, they can do that?
Right at 152 Baden Street.
Okay. So, and food, can they drop off food?
152 Baden Street.
All of that.
We welcome it. You can adopt a family, providing them with a food basket. And if you so desire, gift for their children. If you wish to adopt, please call me. Call me.
What's the cost to adopt a family?
It depends on what the donor would like to put into it. We never set a monetary amount to the adoption. Some people are abundant. Some people are minimum with what they do. But we welcome all.
I'm going to bring my three-year-old in. We're going to adopt a family. We'll see you there before December 11th. I promise we'll meet the deadline.
Wonderful.
Gladys, thank you. And thank you for the work that you're doing at Baden Street for families in Rochester who really need it, especially now.
Thank you for having me on today.
Our next guest is Jerianne Pushkus, who's with the Villa of Hope. She's the Vice President of Development and Marketing. And the Villa of Hope was on the program recently, but for our listeners who might have missed it, remind our listeners what the Villa of Hope does, Jerianne.
Sure. The Villa of Hope is a continuum of care where we provide counseling to families who have young people with behavioral or emotional issues. There could be chemical dependency or abuse or domestic violence. So we work with those families in order to provide care and help them to learn how to come together and to manage those issues. If there's an instance where the young person needs to be brought into our facility, we have residential facility on Dewey Avenue, and we also have group homes for young mothers and for other young people as well. And our community services, like I say, though, we actually go right into the homes and work with the family to try and keep them together.
And how many kids do you serve a year?
Over 2,200.
2,200 in our community in various ways. So that's the Villa of Hope, and you've got the Holiday Wishes Program. What is that?
The Holiday Wishes Program is one where you will see, if you go into any local Starbucks or Summit Federal Credit Union, you will see a sign with a bucket, and there are some tags, and people can pick up a tag, and there's a name of a young person, and they have three holiday wishes for gifts on there. And we ask that people take a tag, purchase those gifts, and bring them back to the facility where they got the tag so that we can give those to the young people so that they can enjoy their holiday. One of the really unique things about the program that we do, too, is if we are working with a young person and they have siblings, we also include their siblings as well so the whole family can benefit.
Very nice. So next time you're in a Summit, but really most of our listeners, if you're not a Summit customer, you end up in a Starbucks.
Exactly.
Where in Starbucks do you usually see it?
They'll most likely are going to be right by the door, or right by the line where you're standing to get your drink.
All right. So grab a tag and follow the directions there.
Yes.
Simple as that.
Yes.
Thanks for serving the kids that you do. And I know we'll have much more to talk about in the new year.
Yes.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays, Jerianne.
Thank you.
Next up is Todd Baxter, the executive director of the Veterans Outreach Center. We've talked a little bit about veterans throughout this program as we think about needs in our community. And certainly, Todd, there's a need all year long to help with veterans
Absolutely.
In our community. Around the holidays, in specifically, what do you want people to think about when it comes to veterans?
Well, think about the service and think about what we're trying to do at the Veterans Outreach Center. A lot of the initiatives we have are around workforce development, you know, helping those veterans get to work, preparing them to those for those new jobs and developing relationships with employers. So we're really looking for some assistance this year on the workforce transportation, you know, gas cards, assistance and financial assistance to get these guys their vehicles, get them their insurance for the first time, you know, and give them that stepping stone, not a handout, but a hand up.
Right. So if I go pick up a pile of gas cards,
right,
any gas station, just sort of just like a gift card, drop it off at the outreach center?
Yeah, we used two just this week. We had one veteran walk in. He's working two jobs. He's a hard worker. He had two deaths in his family, and he was right on that brink of not being able to go to work because of fuel in the vehicle, something that we take for granted. Handed him one of the two gas cards this week, and you've seen a guy walking out with his shoulders up and able to, you know, survive for another week and you know, make progress.
So our listeners have asked for specific things to do. So there's one. Just go pick up gas cards, gift cards, and drop them right off at the outreach center. You'll make use of them.
We'll make use of them, absolutely.
Okay, and all year long, you always need the community support. This time of year, if people want to make a financial contribution, that helps too.
Yeah, we obviously need that. You know, we have to raise $500,000 a year to keep the lights on and keep our services free for veterans. So we're always looking for that financial donation too, absolutely.
How are they doing? I mean, that's such a, you can't answer the question for every veteran, but around this time of year, you know, we've talked about mental health needs, the kind of outreach that you do, and just making sure that people feel strong all year long.
Sure.
I imagine this is a vulnerable time of year if you're going through a lot.
Yeah, anybody that's having a difficult time in their life, this is a very vulnerable time of the year. You know, the increase of domestic violence, the increase of suicides. We're dealing with a tremendous suicide problem in the veterans community. And so our wellness folks, you know, we have five folks that just do wellness, mental health wellness with our veterans. I mean, they're feeling it this time of year, too, where we actually work with our staff and make sure they're healthy and they're taking care of their own, because that's such a burden dealing with those problems all day long. So we're always looking for that assistance, you know, whether it's just reaching out to a veteran, you see someone walking around Wegmans, you know, tell them thank you for your service and we appreciate you. Maybe that lifts them up for a day and keeps them encouraged.
I love when my son and I are out and we either pass a police officer or a veteran.
Yeah.
And he loves them. He just loves them.
That's awesome.
And we always try to say something. Last thought with Todd Baxter, the executive director of Veterans Outreach Center in Rochester. This is a time of the year for seasonal employment, and we see employment dip. You're talking about employment a lot.
Sure.
What message would you aim at our community as we move into the new year, thinking about who you're going to hire and the value of hiring a veteran?
Well, the veteran, you think about it as a taxpayer, American citizen. You paid for these guys and gals to get some tremendous attributes that you want as employers working for you. You know, the work skills we take for granted, ethics, character, ability to solve problems, work in a multicultural environment, solve problems in a stressful environment. These are everything a veteran does naturally, you know, and those are skills you want around you. But we also encourage veterans to call into the VOC. We have tons of great employers looking to hire veterans every day. So the more veterans and the more employers we get calling, the better matches we're making.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you and the great people there.
God bless you, friend.
Our next guest is from Cure Childhood Cancer Association. Now, just for a minute, imagine a six-month-old child with a brain tumor, brain cancer. Imagine a three-year-old or a four-and-a-half-year-old. That was the story for my next guest. Kirsten Kunick is the Director of Family Programs and a co-parent advocate at Cure Childhood Cancer Association. And your child now is a cancer survivor and a success story, but was four and a half years old?
4.5 years old.
Diagnosed with?
Leukemia. He was diagnosed when he was 4.5, and he bruises all over his arms and legs, and I thought, that's a little weird. And we took him to the doctor, and they gave us the diagnosis. And, you know, you're not a parent of a child with cancer until you are. And so you don't know how you're going to react, and you don't know what you're going to do, and you don't need know what you're getting into. And that's what's so great about Cure, is that we are there for these families when they hear your child has cancer. And we're with them every step of the way, whether into survivorship or into bereavement.
What was the hardest part? I mean, you know, I imagine even just talking to a 4.5-year-old and trying to explain what is going on.
Yeah, you know, giving him the medicines that he wasn't sick before, and all of a sudden now he's sick, and trying to explain to him, you know, what is going on. But, you know, we always stayed positive. We always we were told that it was the best type of cancer to get if you're going to get one, which that's a weird thing to have been told to you. But, you know, you get through it, and you get through it with support, and you get through it with help from others. And, you know, now he's 18 years old and in college and playing football at the University of Buffalo. So we're very proud of him. And not only that, he gives back to his community. He's a Leukemia and Lymphoma Society ambassador, and goes and speaks to children at schools and talks to them about his experiences. So.
And you should be very proud of that.
Yes.
And it's an indicator of what can happen. I mean, unfortunately, we can't always control the outcome.
Yes.
And there are some very sad stories in our community. But Cure is doing such great work to help families. in these moments. So how many families a year are you serving?
We serve over 800 families a year. On average, every year, 65 to 70 children are diagnosed with cancer each year.
In our area.
In our area alone. And we service any child who is serviced through the hematology oncology department at Strong Alessano Children's Hospital.
So you work with newborns through age 18.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
65 to 70 kids a year with childhood cancer. It feels so unfair.
It does.
And so around the holidays specifically, what are the needs and what can you do for families? What do you want our listeners to help with?
Well, during the holidays, you know, it's a stressful time already for a normal family, but for a child who's having to go back and forth to the hospital, a mom who's trying to, you know, keep the family finances on tack to get a little help with gifts for the holidays or a food basket or, you know, even a gas or grocery card so that they don't have to worry about those family bills. Those are the types of things that we're looking for. We do a holiday program where we sponsor families. Someone can sponsor a family, soup to nuts, food basket, gifts for the family, gifts for the kids. Or you can just donate items to Cure, and we will get those gifts out to the families.
All right, so if they want to donate items directly or if they want to adopt a family,
yep.
How do they do that? Where do they go to do that?
Well, they can go to our website, www.curekidscancer.com, and they can go to contact us and contact me directly, Kirsten Kunick, the director of programs. Our website's very user-friendly, so they can email right directly from the website. And we will set them up with either getting them a family to work with, or we will get them some information on what our needs are. Mainly, we're looking for things for kids that, you know, gifts, iTunes cards, and a basketball for a kid, or a football for a young boy, or some teen things. Maybe, you know, some nail polish to make a teen girl look prettier, or, you know, because when she loses her hair, that's something that, you know, you want to look nice still. So there's lots of different things from small all the way up to big, and we're more than happy to accept donations, but we ask that they be new and unused, because with kids with cancer, they have their immune systems are compromised, so we have to have new items.
The website one more time?
www.curekidscancer.com.
And I have to ask this because some of our listeners, when they think about charitable giving, they want to know about overhead and administrative costs. Think of all the people Cure is helping in Rochester with one of the smallest staffs.
Yes.
You are now up to how many people doing this work?
We have five people.
Five.
But only one of those is full-time.
Unbelievable.
Four part-time people
and one
full-time person, yes.
Doing all of this work for these families in need, childhood cancer. So if that is part of the equation that you weigh when you're thinking about it, Cure's got like no over. I can't. I don't even know how you do it. But thanks for what you do, Kirsten.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you and all of the families you serve.
Thank you so much.
Next up, as we survey our community for various needs and ways our listeners can help this holiday season. And by the way, this is responding to one of our listener questions, not just my son, who came up with this idea of thinking, hey, let's talk about Christmas and the holidays, and it's about giving. But our listeners last year said, you know, I wish you would have told us all these things that we could be doing before the holiday season, and that's what we're doing this time. So next up is Open Door Mission, serving the homeless population in Rochester. Mike Belmont is the director of development, and this might seem totally trite, but I'm just going to say it, Mike. There's never a good time of year to be homeless, but it's got to be even harder around the holidays. Yeah,
Evan, yeah, and thanks for having me here, and it is hard. The weather gets cold. You know, we see a rise in homelessness in Rochester. Poverty issues on the rise, everything. But yeah, it gets colder. The needs are there. They're greater than ever when it's cold. It's great year-round, but especially now. And thanks to the kindness of Rochester, we're able to serve people really well.
And I know you're trying to meet all of the needs that you possibly can. How many people are you serving at Open Door?
Oh, my goodness, Evan. I think if we just take a look at last month, we had over 800 lodging nights. We served over 7,000 meals. We gave out 8,000 pieces of clothing. So there are many that we're serving. There are hundreds and upward of thousands as we move through this holiday season.
You and I both wish the numbers were going down and the needs were going away and that we didn't need Open Door anymore, but that's just not reality, and it's not going to be reality for a long time in this community. So especially in the holiday season? What do you need? What do the people you serve need?
Yeah, we talk about Code Blue, and we talk about Thanksgiving and Christmas, and it gets cold. And we need people to go to the website, opendoormission.com, and click Give. And there are ways to give. $2.05 a meal, and it helps support countless. $2.05 a healthy meal in a healthy shelter environment. So a well-balanced meal. You can go to the website. I'm going there now as we speak, and you can see the needs. And $2.05, you do the math. You know, what is it? $61.25 is what, 30 meals, you know, and go from there. And it, and we have community meals program every single day, 365 days a year. Addiction recovery program, those people get fed too at our caring center at 156 Plymouth. Go to the website, and you can give that way. It would be great. And drop off food and clothing and coats. You could do that at the caring center at 156 North Plymouth Avenue, you know, 8 to 5 on weekdays and here and there through the holidays and Saturdays.
All right. Well, when it comes to clothing and sort of warm stuff needs, any sizes, anything specific this time of year? No?
All over the map. Okay. All over the map. We have women and single women and their kids coming in. So there's kids needs. And you know, there is an overabundance of kindness in Rochester. So people do give, and we thank you ahead of time for doing so. But especially the hygiene items, those are tough. You know, little shampoos and razors and deodorants and you know, hand warmers, right? If you have, if you're a hunter, or if you you go to the Bills games, you know, you have extra hand warmers, and you could bring those. So those are the kinds of things that really help, and they help big time, and they help give somebody a little win and a little bit of hope, because
all
we
right.
care.
So if you're driving downtown and you want to stop by, that's where you do it. On Plymouth, you can drop off the hygiene items, the warming items, things like that. But opendoormission.com, click on Give, very easy to do, and $2.05 a meal.
$2.05 a meal. It's just extraordinary. And when you see people receive some food, some good food, and the care, it'll change your life. And you could call and hit volunteer if you want, and you could help us serve a breakfast, or you could come and help us serve the meal. And you can see firsthand how your love and your kindness and the kindness of Rochester, the kindest city in America, affects people's lives. And it does change their lives. It changes their lives because we support them programmatically in a healthy shelter. And we thank Rochester for its kindness.
Well, thank you, Mike. Thanks for Open Door Mission. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to all the people there and the people you serve. And again, here's hoping that one day we wake up and we don't need an Open Door Mission, but we're not there yet.
Fair enough. And thank you so much, Evan. Thanks, Rochester.
Next up in our conversation about ways we can help our community is the Center for Youth. And the executive director of the Center for Youth is Elaine Spall. And first of all, Elaine, just briefly remind our listeners what the overall mission for the Center for Youth is.
Well, the Center for Youth is serving about 20,000 young people from zero, actually, and I mean zero, babies, up to 22-year-old, and across all kinds of programs. Mostly our homeless shelters are the things where the need is greatest. We have programs in about 30 different schools. We run teen court and many, many other programs, music programs, art programs. But today I want to talk about our little crisis nursery.
What is the crisis nursery?
The crisis nursery is the purest form of charitable giving in our community, a little house, a respite center on Genesee Park Boulevard that is open-hearted with 0 to 12-year-olds, 14-year-olds, if they're siblings, in emergency care, medical emergency, other kinds of crisis where young families, grandmas, aunties, mothers, fathers who just can't care for their children in that moment seek our support, and we are there for them, no questions asked, for free, making sure that our community is safe. We hear about families that in dire emergencies may leave a child home with an unsafe situation or in a car or with people they don't know. We can't have that. Rochester loves its children, and the crisis nursery is there for us.
Okay, so what do you need for the crisis nursery?
We need everything, all shapes and sizes, but specifically, we're always looking for car seats, new or gently used, diapers, wipes, household goods, gift cards. We love to give our families in crisis $20 gift cards, small amounts of gift cards. We want to be able to give them foodstuffs, non-perishables. We have a little food cupboard called the Nook, car seats, batteries of all sizes. We are good with clothing, but we can always use clothing for older teens. We'll talk about that closer to Christmas. But for the Crisis Nursery, imagine that you were trying to house about 900 different families have come through in this year. We're not even done with the year. So imagine what that would be like. Household goods, foodstuffs, car seats, diapers, wipes, formula of all kind, and of course cash, one size fits all. We really would appreciate that for our respite workers. We have to hire staff. We have wonderful volunteers, but we do like to have staff as well.
All right, and if they've got these goods to donate, take them right down to the
Center for Youth, 905 Monroe Avenue, or call our helpline, 271-7670. We also love volunteers. Direct line at the Crisis Nursery, 235-5750. Centerforyouth.net. Check us out.
Okay, and if you want to volunteer your time at the Crisis Nursery, you love kids and you want to help the kids in need the most,
Have 4 hours a month, 8 hours a month, 4 hours a week, whatever you can give us, we are loving our volunteers. The volunteers are there. Our kids are in trauma, so they often have babies that need to be held all day. If you love babies, if you love helping families in need, please call us at the Center for Youth. Helpline 271-7670. We love volunteers, and we love all of those folks who have already given, and we deeply appreciate it.
All right, lastly, Thanksgiving coming this week. You've already rounded up as many turkeys as you can this week. Let's look ahead to Christmas week, December 22nd or so.
We would love
some turkeys.
We would love some turkeys. You know, there's nothing like giving folks an amazing care package to go along with some of the small gifts that we're looking for. So frozen turkeys, 12 to 15 pounds. We'll do all the fixings. There'll be more on that certainly on our website, centerforyouth.net. We'll be out there. And again, cash, one size fits all. But we're deeply grateful for everything that we receive.
All right, Elaine Spall, happy Thanksgiving. Merry Christmas. Happy,
happy
holidays.
Thanksgiving.
Thank
happy
you.
Holidays. God bless you.
Coming up in our second hour, more opportunities for you to mark down the Christmas and holiday wish list for organizations around our community, helping kids, helping families in need. From the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children to the YMCA and much more, hope you'll stay with us next hour as we take down a list of needs in our community.
Support for your public radio station comes from our members and from Renova Solar, serving upstate New York with the design and installation of solar power systems for home and business. More information at renovasolar.com.
We continue our discussion of various ways that you can help around the holidays in our area. And if you're just joining us, every year around this time, we hear from listeners who say, I wish I would have known what was available to help people around the holidays in our community. So this year, we're not waiting until the end of December. We're starting now, giving you a long list. And the next guest is from Lollipop Farm, the Humane Society of Greater Rochester, and the Associate Director of Communications for Lollipop is Christina Faller. Christina, nice to have you.
Great to be here. Thanks for having us.
Well, I recall in A Christmas Story, the movie of Chevy Chase, and there was an animal, I think a cat, put in a box under a tree. Lollipop would never put an animal in a box under a tree for Christmas, but we were just talking about the fact that you think there's a myth that you should never give an animal as a gift. It's a myth, you think?
That's right. Yeah. People have come to believe that they shouldn't adopt an animal and give it as a gift to someone, but in fact, studies have shown that when they understand that the person who would be receiving the gift of this animal wants an animal, and also when they work with adoption counselors to make sure it's the right... Yes, we have expert adoption counselors. When they work with them to make sure it's a right fit for the household and other animals and other people in the household, actually it creates a stronger bond with the family and results in a long-term happy home for a homeless pup.
Okay, So there's number one. If you want to give an animal as a gift, work with an adoption counselor. Make sure you're identifying and you feel really secure about this decision, but don't rule it out, is what Christina's saying. And if you want to do it through Lollipop around the holidays, anything people should know?
Well, yes, we have lots of animals available for adoption, dogs, cats, small animals, farm animals. And the best thing to do is come and meet with an adoption counselor and talk about what you're looking for, and they can help guide you to find the right match.
Okay. And then what you need all year long, and it's especially poignant around the holidays, is money and volunteering time. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So we, you know, we are always trying to, our ultimate goal is to find homes for the homeless and abused pets that we have in our care. Currently, we have a holiday matching gift program. So for every dollar donated, it will be matched thanks to a generous gift from a foundation. So donations certainly always help because animals that come to us, we provide veterinary care, food, shelter, behavior training, whatever the animal needs to help them be ready to enter a home as a family pet. Mm-hmm. So certainly that's number one. But volunteering, I mean, we couldn't do what we do at Lollipop Farm without our hundreds of volunteers that we have. So we have volunteers that help us run the shelter. We also have foster care volunteers. So many times there will be an animal who's not quite ready for adoption, whether it's a health issue or just needs to learn some good behaviors to be a family pet. And that's where our foster care volunteers come in and are a huge help.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about various ways that we can help the needs of our community around the holidays. You know, last year, at the end of December, someone emailed the program and said, I wish I would have known about, and then they listed a few things going on to help kids, to help people in poverty, to help programs. And so we said, okay, this year, we're not waiting until the end of the holiday season. We're going to start before Thanksgiving, and we're going to let people know, if you're thinking about how to help, here is a cascade of just a list of all the things that are happening that you should know about. And next up on our list is The Strong. The National Museum of Play is a place a lot of families go to. We think of it as, sometimes, we think of it as a quick, fun stop, or a few hours, or a full day. But Shane Reinwald is the director of PR for The Strong and is in here to tell us about something we probably don't always think about, which is the not-for-profit status and the things that are going on we might miss. What's going on?
Yeah, so The Strong, a lot of people experience us from the guest experience, which is fantastic. They come, they have a lovely time, but they may not know that we are a fundraising organization, and there are a lot of things that we do for the community that those individual and community funds help support. So just as a couple examples, we have a program that allows foster families to come to the museum free on an annual basis. We have a nurse family practitioner program that allows them to come with at-risk families and actually teach them parenting skills through play-based skills. So play is both our brand and our mission at the museum. And so we are bringing that out into the community through these different programs.
I think about this time of year where kids are off school. Families have a little bit more of a burden to make sure they've got something to do with them. If I wanted to call The Strong or stop by The Strong next time I'm there and just ask about making a contribution that will be aimed at helping foster families, provide time to come in, we can do that.
You can do that. And probably the quickest way to get some information on that is to just go to our website. We have a Ways to Give area, and it will outline ways that you can give back to The Strong and ways that that money is then in turn given back to the community through these educational and outreach programs.
I think that's great. You know, we sometimes we take it for granted. It's a great resource. It's become this institution, really a national treasure, but a great way to help. So you've got that and all these other programs. And sometimes I walk into The Strong and I go, oh, I didn't know you were doing this. And you've got something else going on. So my guess is all year long you're doing these kinds of things that might be happening right under our nose.
Yeah, we have programs that happen all throughout the year, and they all tie back to our mission of play. So we are more than just coming in experiencing play, which we do love, but we're also all about taking play, preserving that history, and then sharing that with people around the community and the nation through these other programs.
Thank you, Shane. And for our listeners, if you're thinking about a contribution somewhere before the end of the year, as a lot of families do, there's just another great option that is serving our community. We'll see you out at the Strong. Thank you, Shane.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Let's continue our discussion of various ways we can help people around the holidays in our community. And we've been talking about specific providers, sort of right there on the ground level. But the Rochester Area Community Foundation is making sure kids have toys, and they are kind of the umbrella that is identifying some of those specific providers and filling in needs where appropriate. Mary Hartstein's here. She's a program associate from RACF. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks.
Well, it's great to have you here. And it sounds to me like your organization is seeing these needs, appreciating these providers, and looking to see where do we have needs. How many kids do you expect to help with just Christmas? Christmas toys this year, for example?
We touch about 5,000 children every year.
5,000 children every year. And it all started through, I guess, was it a couple, a family?
Yeah, it was an old couple. They lived in Greece, Hubertus and Helmi Berla. They had an interesting name. And they left nearly their entire estate to the Community Foundation to establish a fund that provides toys to children in need around the holidays.
That's great. That is wonderful. And so that fund has been growing, but people can still contribute.
Absolutely.
So that's one thing that you can do. You can just get in touch with the Community Foundation and contribute to the fund?
Absolutely. You can call us. You can visit us over at 500 East Avenue. You can go to our website, which is www.racf.org/donation to make a donation to the fund at any time. And if it doesn't hit this year, the program happens every year for years and years to come.
Thank goodness you guys are doing that, because I know some of the specific organizations we've been talking to, not all of them will meet their goals, and the Community Foundation will try to step in. So this is a great way for you to help. And just briefly before I let you go then, Mary, let's just talk about, as an example, some of the people that you're helping. You mentioned Hillside, for example. Yeah. We've talked to Hillside about their Secret Santa.
Great.
So you can work with them. But it goes far beyond. You mentioned as well Spiritus Christi. Tell us about that.
Spiritus Christi Prison Outreach. We work with them. It's a small group of women who live in the home, and they're working to reunite with their children, and we're helping them be able to give Christmas presents to their children around the holidays, and for some of them it's for the first time, so it's really quite touching.
So those are just two of the many examples RACF will be working with. You can get online racf.org/donation. They'll fill in those gaps, help the community, and I'm so appreciative of the fact that you're coming in here, not just around the holidays. We've been talking about this hour, the things that people do all year long. How are things going at the Community Foundation? Unfortunately, in many ways, very busy focusing on poverty, but that's hopefully something that will be improving.
Yeah, we're very busy, but we are working with a lot of great partners out there, and together we share a dream for a better community.
Thank you for coming in, and thanks for the work the Community Foundation does all year long.
Thank you.
We continue our conversation on various ways that we can help organizations throughout our community that are helping people in various kinds of need. And the Ronald McDonald House helps families that did not expect to be dealing with an illness, an unexpected illness. Now imagine around the holidays, you're thinking in some fashion of being home. And all of a sudden you're in the hospital, or you've got a child in the hospital, an unexpected illness. You're spending your time there instead of home. And the Ronald McDonald House helps people and families across the spectrum, but many of the families they help don't really have a lot of financial resources to begin with. So very tough situation, and Carol DeMolin is the president of Ronald McDonald House Charities of Rochester. So you're helping families all year, but I just have to imagine this is a tough time of year to be there.
It's hard, Evan. As you mentioned, no one really plans for their child to become ill or injured. And when it happens, you really unplug. You have to unplug. We want families to be able to focus on the most important thing at that moment is their child. So we do all we can to remove burden. We do have our house that where families who have come a distance stay with us. They can stay one night or as many nights as they need. We have our house within the hospital as well, and that's for families not just from out of town, but for local families as well, and our new family room program on the first floor of the new hospital. So we have lots of ways that we can help remove that burden. But at holiday time, you and I might be thinking about getting our house ready or doing our shopping or what we're cooking for Christmas or Hanukkah dinner. They're not really focused on that.
They can't be.
They can't be.
Yeah, and so Ronald McDonald House is going to help them in various ways. It starts with the making sure families, especially in financial need, can either get out, get home, travel, and maybe even get out and enjoy a meal together away from a hospital
That's
setting.
Right.
So two different kinds of gift cards. Just tell us about what sure. people can do specifically.
Sure. At holiday time, this, you know, anywhere from Thanksgiving through the end of December, we are assembling boxes for every family, whether they're lucky and able to be going home, we give them a holiday box. So it's got goodies in there. Gift cards are really important. Any amount, $10, $20 helps us a lot. And certainly those valued at higher. A gas card, you know, this will put that first tank of gas in someone's car to be able to help them get home. Restaurant certificates for those who haven't been planning a meal. It's really nice for them to be able to get lunch out or dinner out. And those are really important to us.
Okay. And so they can drop them off, or how, what's the best way to do that?
Sure. They can drop them right at 333 Westmoreland, our main house, which is close to the Golisano Children's Hospital. They could mail them, and it is same thing. We'll get them. We'll put them to good use right now in those gift boxes. And families who are staying, not every family goes home. The doctors do try to get as many families home, even if it's temporary. But families that are staying, we have a box for every family.
And here's the last thing I want to ask about that may not be directly or immediately related to the holiday season, but this is a time of year where people think about what can I do to help others, mm-hmm. but we're also very busy. I have a twin brother, and every year on Thanksgiving, he doesn't go home. He works at a soup kitchen. And I'm so proud of him. He does that every year. And it makes me think, what can I do? And, of course, we all get busy. Mm-hmm. But one thing that Carol has informed me that I think you ought to let our listeners know is if you want to sign up now and you can't do it between now and the end of the year, you can sign up for next year, the spring.
You
want to come in and what, cook, volunteer? What can people do?
All of that. They can come help us with chores. If you have chores around your house that need to be done, we have them times 24 at the Ronald McDonald House. And they can help us by cooking a meal, a dinner, breakfast. And so many of us are crazy around this time of year. But if you have that in your heart that you want to help, help us in late winter or early spring when we are still providing home away from home for 24 families whose kids are sick.
Something to think about now. And we love the medical staffs, but I don't think anybody wants to spend too much time in a hospital. Wish we don't have to be there for too long. But thank you for being there at Ronald McDonald House.
Thank you so much, Evan.
Our next guest, as we talk about things our community can do for people in need this holiday season, is from the Salvation Army. Major Judy Hart is here. How are you, Major Hart?
I'm fabulous. Thank you.
Well, it's great to have you. And I know the Salvation Army is helping people all year round, but this is a season that we even see even more visibly, if that's possible. And what do you want the community to know that they can do in regards to the Salvation Army as we head toward the holidays?
Well, I want people to know that, first of all, need has no season, and the Salvation Army is around all year long. But we really are in need of people to consider being a bell ringer. We need lots of bell ringers. We can have up to 80 different stands out in our community during the holiday season. So people can register to ring bells for the Salvation Army. We've made it easy this year. We have a website. It's called registertoring.com. And people can go on that website any time of the day, choose a location that they want to go to, a community, and then a store and a time frame. Made it as easy as possible. Once again, that's registertoring.com.
Registertoring.com. And you don't have to even have a dollar yourself in your pocket that you feel like you can give. You can go give your time on this.
Yes, time is very, very valuable for all of us. So for those who perhaps want to get their family started in a new tradition, it's a great opportunity to start a family tradition. And for those who perhaps don't have the time, they can reach down in their pockets when they pass those bell ringers and just warm their heart by making a contribution to the Salvation Army.
When do we start seeing the bells?
The bells have been out since November 13th.
Oh, okay.
And they will be out until December 24th at 5 o'clock. Don't miss the opportunity.
Am I allowed to ask your goal? Do you have a goal for the year?
We do have a goal. It's $500,000, and we are very confident that we can reach that goal. With everyone in the community coming alongside, we can make a difference.
Major Hart, anything else you want the community to know about giving this holiday season?
Yes, just one other thing. We started a new program last year called Operation Family Time. And what we are doing is we're encouraging families to come together during the holiday season. We have empty bags that we give to people, and we ask them to fill them either with a family-friendly DVD, a family-friendly chapter book, or a family-friendly game, an edible snack, and a drinking snack. You can do that for even under $10. And those bags are then given to the families that come through for assistance during Christmas. And we are just encouraging them to make Christmas last a little longer. 10 minutes is all it takes to open those gifts. But they can spend an hour or two together. And what more precious gift could you give to your children during the holidays?
All right, so if I want to do that, again, what are the items that we want to put in there?
We're looking for a family-friendly DVD or a family-friendly game or a family-friendly chapter book, an edible snack, and a drinking snack. bag. And you can call the Salvation Army to get those bags, and we'll get them out to you.
Okay, well, and do we have a deadline for that?
Yes, we need them back to us no later than December 17th.
17th. So we've got a little bit of time. Lots of ways that you can help, whether with your time or these family-friendly gifts. The Salvation Army, Major Judy Hart, happy holidays and Merry Christmas, and thank you for the work that your organization does for our community.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas to all.
We continue our conversation on organizations helping our community and ways that our listeners can help. Trying to fulfill some listener demands. They said, how can we help? And let's not wait until the end of December before we talk about what's going on around the holiday season. So here we are. And next up is the House of Mercy. Ashley Papp is here. She is the Director of Fundraising for the House of Mercy. Remind our listeners what the House of Mercy is, Ashley.
The House of Mercy is a shelter down on Hudson Avenue that serves the homeless and the poverty-stricken in our community. We also tend to work with the hardest-to-place homeless population. We have a lot of mentally ill, some substance abuse, people that don't fit into the models of other shelters in our community.
Okay, and so you've got specific holiday needs. We're about to hit Thanksgiving. I hope you've got food lined up, but you'll need the same kind of food Christmas week?
We will.
What can people do?
We need turkeys and hams. We deliver Thanksgiving and Christmas between 350 to 500 meals at the House of Mercy. We also send people away with gift baskets of food that they, if they have a home, can cook at their home. We do it Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Okay. And they can deliver where? How do they do that?
If they want to deliver food, it has to be down to the House of Mercy. That's 725 Hudson Ave. And any time of the day, somebody will be there.
Now, this time of year, we're moving into a very rough winter season. And you have two, you always need warm clothing, but two very specific needs. What are they?
We always need socks. We need thousands of pairs of socks. The homeless are always on their feet. They're not like you or I that sits in their house or at their desk. They're constantly walking, so they need clean, dry socks. We also need gloves. Both of those are to prevent frostbite. A lot of our people have lost fingers or toes due to our Rochester winters.
Okay, and you mentioned before we began here that they can do that. Not only can they drop those things off at the House of Mercy, but they can get online?
Yes, we have a very easy way to donate. You can go to our website and look at our Amazon wish list. It'll keep you up to date with our most urgent needs. You can purchase a package of socks or gloves, and they ship right to us.
Our listeners have been asking about volunteering opportunities. Some organizations need that, but that's not something that the House of Mercy can do. Is that right?
Not at this time. It's hard for us to have volunteers, especially that want to serve food around the holidays. We're just not set up for that. We have very few employees, so they're so busy running the House of Mercy, we just don't have anybody to organize volunteers at this time.
But as the Director of Fundraising, I know you're raising money all year round, aren't you?
We are. We are always raising money. Going into the holiday season, this is one of our busiest times. As it gets colder, the need just doubles.
Good luck to the holiday season and beyond at the House of Mercy, and I know you're serving a lot of people in need. Thank you for the work that you do in this community.
Thank you, Evan.
Our next guest is FoodLink. The Director of Community Relations for FoodLink is Tara Keller. Here with three ways we can help through FoodLink this holiday season. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for taking the time to come in. All right. Three ways to help through FoodLink. Way number one, what can we do?
Donate funds. And there's a lot of ways this time of year. Now through Thanksgiving is our Checkout Hunger campaign at Wegmans. It's that point of sale campaign where you can round up your bill or donate two, three, or five. That is a huge, it's our biggest fundraising campaign of the year, and those dollars go a long way. But also coming up is Rock the Day, the online all-day giving, and we have a $10,000 match from the Lozinyak family that we're very thankful for. You can always just make a quick donation online, send in a check, set up a tour to learn more before you make that contribution, but funds is way number one.
Okay, funds, that's number one. Number two.
Volunteering, donating your time. So in our warehouse, this time of year, we're sorting through donated food. We're packing holiday produce baskets. We're getting bags packed for a backpack program for kids that will be going on break, and there's lots of opportunities within our warehouse. I do have to say that our Saturdays are booked at this time, so it's only weekdays available, but we also have opportunities to volunteer on our curbside market, which is that mobile farmers market on wheels going out to different locations in the community like housing developments and health centers.
Okay, how do they sign up to volunteer? Where can they do that?
FoodLinkNY.org.
Okay, and they need weekday volunteers. That's just the reality. All right, number three, what's the third way to help?
donate food. Food drives this time of year are very, very popular, hosting one at your office or at your place of business. There's also a lot going on already, so you can check out our website for food and fun drives going on and find ways to participate actively in the community. And then lastly, on December 11th is our Food for Families food drive and funds drive through Tops Markets, and you can stop out at any local Tops to buy a little brown bag of hope, which is filled with our most needed items.
Most needed items. That's December 11th at local Tops stores for FoodLink. Last quick question. Around the holidays especially, it's getting colder. How much of a food need is there in our community?
Yeah, it's, you see an increased need over the holidays because it is getting colder, and that warm meal is so much more important. So our 500 partner agencies that serve 200,000 individuals in the community are hard at work making sure that those individuals receive a hot meal and don't go to bed hungry.
Tara Keller from FoodLink, thanks for coming in, and thanks for serving the community, especially all year long, but this holiday season as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our thanks to the various organizations who came out to share their stories and their needs with us. And in fact, we had so many respond that we couldn't fit it all into one day. You're going to hear more from them tomorrow, more about the very specific needs that you and I and we all can contribute to this holiday season. I got to thank my son, my 3.5-year-old son, Reese, for helping inspire this idea. Thanks, Reese, for coming to the radio station today.
Thanks for having me. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Our thanks to the engineer of this program, Valerie LeBankham. Megan Mack is the producer. And once again, I hope that you can join us tomorrow as we continue to work through the various needs in this community. It is a long holiday season, starts in just a few days, but it is going to go quickly. And before we blink, it'll be 2016. So this is our chance to make an impact for the people who truly need it most. Thanks for listening to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson, and this is member-supported public radio.